Thank you, Pastor Bill Hart, and it's a tremendous privilege to be here this morning. And Gene and I finally have the opportunity to live in Austin, be a part of this church. And we've been ministering here since 1986. That's a long time, 1986. And so Gene and I are delighted to be here. We love Bill and Sue Hart, their faithfulness and their genuine love for people, love for us, and what a blessing they are to our lives. So, hallelujah. Why don't you put your hand on your ears and say, Holy Spirit, open my ears this morning that I may hear your word, that I may hear your voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Put your hand on your eyes. Just say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I might see what you're doing in me. Put your hand on your heart. Just say, Lord, open my heart that I might receive all that you have for me. I'm ready to receive. I'm ready, ready, ready. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Let's pray a little while this morning. Father, we just pray the will of God be done here today. The will of God be done in this church, in this house, on this Sunday morning. We pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done in us corporately, congregationally, and Lord, your will be done in us individually. Give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us heart to receive, realizing and recognizing, Lord, that you can speak to us this morning. You can speak to us direction and guidance. And Lord, because we know the plan that you have for us is a good plan. So we just pray right now, Lord, that you would anoint your servant, anoint us, your sons and daughters, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You know, I realize that one word from God can just change your life forever. Forever. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say about this morning that this morning is a demarcation for somebody. Somebody's going to have a demarcation. This is going to be a start into your future journey, your assignment. I remember something very significant happened, a demarcation in my life and the life of many people, many nations. In 1993, I was on my way. Gene and I, at that point, were living in Oklahoma City. And I was flying from Oklahoma City to Austin, Texas, 30,000 feet in the air. I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the cities are full of violence. Make a chain. For the land is full of bloody crimes, the city is full of violence. And, you know, when you receive a word from God, it's only a partial word. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know in part and we prophesy in part. So I did not know how I could make a chain because I was not the pastor of a church. Gene and I were traveling, ministering like we are today. And but I carried that word in my spirit. And I think I rehearsed it when I got here and ministered in this church in this particular room in September of 1993. So I continued to carry that word. And in April of 1994, Gene and I went to Fort Worth, Texas, Calvary Cathedral, and spent 26 weeks there praying day and night, having revival. One of the most incredible seasons of my entire life. I later wrote a book about it. And God just began to bless. And I shared that word with Pastor Bob Nichols in January of 1995. We finally moved there. The revival continued for another 3 years. And so I shared that word with him in January of 1995. And he said, we'll do it here. So in May of 1995, the church in Fort Worth, Texas started a 24/7 prayer ministry, praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I wrote the materials, the training, and it began in May of 1995 and still continues today. I was just there ministering last week. I'm glad I can go back and minister to the church that I came from. And ministered there last week. They're still praying around the clock, 24/7 at the church. And it's called the Power Tower. You can call anytime, day or night, and somebody will be there to answer the phone and pray with you. So in 1999, 4 years later, I carried that word into Revelation Church in Chichester, England. And I began to prophesy over that church that one day they would have a 24/7 prayer ministry. And that prayer ministry would go out of that house across the nation to the nations of the world. It would be a raging fire that would go out. So they took the word, because we hear something, we see something, we say something, and then we do something. It's not enough to hear something or see something or say something. We must do something. Ears, eyes, mouth, and feet. So a few weeks later, they started a 24/7 prayer ministry, and they built a prayer, what they call a prayer room. And in this prayer room, people made commitments to go into that. They had to actually reserve the room, and they went into the room, and they could write on the wall. They could write prayer requests. They could write their names. They could write scriptures. And it went on for 3 months. And there was a young man in that church who was an incredible firebrand. And so he said, we can do this, as the word of the Lord said, we can do this and take this to many other places. So this young man named Pete went out of the church and began to start prayer rooms all across England. And it just began to catch fire. And that word of the Lord that started in this church in 1993, Cathedral of Praise in Austin, Texas, went to Fort Worth, Texas, went from Fort Worth, Texas to Chichester, England, went across England, and now is in 125 nations of the world where people are praying 24/7. It just began here as a demarcation in September of 1993. It's amazing how one word from God can change your life. It's amazing how just something can start in a place in Austin, Texas. Amen? I got a word for a boxer by the name of Evander Holyfield standing on this stage in 2006. And I just began to prophesy without Evander Holyfield being here, the four-time heavyweight boxing champion of the world, that he was going to make a major comeback. God took that word. That happened. He invited me to travel with him. I traveled with him to many, many places and still have a relationship with him. I was talking to him, in fact, last Sunday morning. But it just started here. So I hear the Holy Ghost saying that there's some things that are going to start here this morning that's going to travel out of here into different places, different geographical locations. Hallelujah. So speaking of England, which Gene and I have been going to since 1990, and thank you for praying with us. We had a wonderful time, one of our most incredible times we've ever had in the United Kingdom. Gene and I were able to lead a revival in London, at the heart of London. In fact, I revisited that location when I was there a couple of weeks ago. But in the summer of 1997, in June of 1997, they invited me to come. They said 120 of us groups have been meeting. We want you to come. We're going to have a revival in the heart of London, just down the street from where Princess Diana's funeral was held. And so I stood there just a few days ago reminiscing of the incredible anointing, the incredible things that happened in that summer. And it was during that time of ministering 5 nights a week for a month, and then we went back the following January. It was during that time that I met a man who later became a member of my board. I believe this man, I believe he's even ministered in this church. But God began to develop a relationship with him, because every day I pray for divine appointments and divine connections. I know there's things that I could never do without somebody's help, with somebody opening a door that I could never open to go places I've never been, do things I've never done, say things I've never said, meet people I've never met, operate in gifts I never operated in, go to nations I've never been to. So there are people that's waiting to help you this morning that have the key to places that maybe you could never go, but they can help you get in. And so it was during that time that I met this man who later became a member of my board in England. And Gene and I attended his church just around the corner, Westminster Chapel in London. We're even just down the street from the palace. God began to just connect me with this man. And he later... I was able to make some contributions to his life as well as mine, but he wrote a book a short time later, and just early this morning, I've not read the book in so long, but it's one of the greatest books I'd ever read, and the Holy Spirit just woke me up this morning with this in my spirit. So I went to my prayer room, I got the book out, and I began to read the book, and it was like I was just supposed to share some things, some of his things, because I don't believe Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. So I think we all plagiarize all the time. I just began to look at his book. It just felt like that I need to share a word that was in my heart, in my spirit today. And because I never know what the Holy Spirit is going to have me to share. I just pray and say, God, everywhere I go, what am I to say? So this morning I know I'm to say this. So the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, in page 380 in your big Bible. And I'm carrying a big Bible because the Lord spoke to me in January that this is the year of the big. You got your big Bible, Eric? Wow, that's good. Proud of you, son. I love to hear Eric and Darren lead worship. Hallelujah. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Are you ready? Verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears that, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you. I will come. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show you what you shall do." And then verse 4 says, "So Samuel did what the Lord said." So Samuel did what the Lord said. It's very, very important in life. And so in the book that my friend wrote, he talks about three different types of people, three different types of men or women, because in the kingdom of God, there's no gender difference. But he talks about Samuel, who was today's man. And then he talked about Saul, who was yesterday's man. And then he talked about David, who was tomorrow's man. And many years ago, as I began to read this scripture, I realized that in every church, there are today's men or women, today's men, yesterday's man, and tomorrow's man. And I think it's very, very important that we understand these three different types of people that are in every church. So I'm going to share what's in my spirit, and then we are going to pray today. Samuel was a man who was called by God. He was called by God, began to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord at an early age. He began to learn the voice of the Lord. He began to be able to discern the different voices and the voice that was speaking to him. And he grew up to be a prophet, not ordaining himself a prophet, not a self-proclaimed prophet or prophetess, which I'm very leery of, but one that the people knew was a prophet, was a prophetic voice to the nation, a man who walked after God. And the Lord told him to go and anoint a man by the name of Saul as the king. And so he took his oil and he laid hands on Saul and prophesied. And then there came a day when Saul began to walk in disobedience to God. He did not obey the voice of God. And so God brought a word to Samuel and said, I have rejected Saul being king over this nation. And he said, I want you to take the horn of oil and I want you to go and anoint another young man to be the king. So Saul was very grieved because the disobedience, Samuel was very grieved at the disobedience of Saul. And when he called Saul to repentance, it's amazing how Saul responded to the prophet. And he would not obey the voice. The word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I've set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and he began to confront Saul concerning his sin. And Saul would not repent of his sins. He would not repent of what he had done. Saul said to Samuel, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words. He didn't say, I've transgressed the words of the Lord's words. He said, I've transgressed the words of your words. I feared the people, obeyed their voice. You know, God is looking. He's looking for tomorrow's sons and daughters who are not afraid of people. They're not afraid to tell the truth to people. They're not afraid to call the people to repentance or whatever they need to do. He's looking for those. But Saul, he would not respond to that. Now, therefore, he said, please pardon my sin. He's telling Samuel to pardon his sin. He's not repenting before God. And he said, return with me that I may worship the Lord. I've sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people, before Israel. Return with me that I may worship the Lord your God. He was saying, I want you to endorse me. I want you to confirm me before the people. At that point, Saul became yesterday's man. It's a very sad story in the Bible. And for 20 years, Saul wore the crown, but he lost the anointing. He remained in office. There are some people that remain in office for a long time, or a church that may go for a long time, but once the anointing is no longer there, then God is always looking for tomorrow's man, or tomorrow's church, or tomorrow's people. So Saul would not repent, but God did not remove him at that moment. So Saul had the crown, but David had the anointing. And so for 20 years, Saul was not removed by God. He continued to operate and function, but there was another man, tomorrow's man, David, who carried the anointing. But it was Samuel, today's man. Saul was yesterday's man. The anointing had lifted. David was tomorrow's man. But Samuel continued to operate, working, not with yesterday's man, yet trying to restore him, but he would not be restored, but yet working with tomorrow's man, who was David. So it's my desire, my passion, I should believe should be the passion of the church, is to be today's man. Confronting yesterday's man and trying to restore yesterday's man. Who is yesterday's man? people that will not repent of their sins, people that continue to walk in unforgiveness, people that continue to walk in bitterness, people that continue to walk in strife, people that continue to declare what could have been, might have been, you should have been. They live in the past. They have no dreams of the future. They don't think about the possibilities that they might be doing for God. They believe that life has passed them by. They become only a survivor. I heard a lady say one time during her message that when I was growing up as a child, as a teenager, my family and I were gypsies, and we simply followed the crops. And I saw a lot of that when I was young. And they would, because sometimes people would follow the wheat harvest, they would follow the corn harvest, they would follow the cotton harvest or whatever. So she said, we followed the harvest. And as I was growing up, she said, we would work hard all day as a family, our entire family. At the evening, we would get paid every evening. And when I used to pull cotton as a boy, I remember that cotton sack dragging along behind me, and I'd weigh in every evening, and they would pay me $2 a hundred for all the cotton I'd pulled. Thank God I'm past that one. So that's what happened to them. They got paid every evening. She said my mom and dad would go to the store and they'd buy some food, and mostly beans, because beans would go a lot farther. And my mom and dad would come home, and my mother and my sisters, we'd cook the beans, we'd eat the beans, and then we'd get up the next morning and go to work. We'd work hard all day long. At the end of the day, they would pay us the money for the crop, and we would go to the store and buy some beans, and we'd cook the beans, and so we'd have enough energy to get up the next morning and go to work. And we'd work hard all day long so we would have enough money to buy some beans. And we would eat the beans so we would have enough energy to get up the next morning, go to work, and work hard all day long so we'd have enough money to buy some beans. We'd eat the beans so we'd have enough energy to get up the next morning and go to work so we would... You get the story. She said our lives became one big bowl of beans. She said we were survivors. There's a lot of people, they are in a survival mode. Their dreams are gone. Their visions are gone. They believe their health is gone. They believe that the best days have passed them by. They're yesterday's man, yesterday's woman. And they feel like they have nothing really to live for. So today's man, Samuel, is to try to help Saul recover. Because now he feels like that he's in the throes of death. He's just become a survivor. So Samuel, today's man, is trying to help Saul. You know, the church, which should be today's man, should be about yesterday's man, helping pick up the pieces if necessary. You know, I realize I'm out ministering almost every week of the year, and I realize that when I begin to minister to people, I don't know where they're at. I mean, I can't tell just by looking at their faces. I can tell if they're wearing glasses, what length of hair they have, if they have hair, if they don't have any hair. I can tell all sorts of things just by looking, but I don't know what's going on in their lives, which brings me to a very sobering place every time I stand up to minister. Over 13,000 times I've ministered in the past 46 years. And every time I know it's a sobering thing. Because I know that inevitably in the place where I'm ministering, there are people that are going through very difficult times. Maybe suicidal thoughts. Maybe they've tried to commit suicide. Maybe they have an incurable disease. Maybe things are turning upside down in their life. And I don't know what's going on. But I know that somehow I need to reach out to them, yesterday's man, who feel like they have no hope for tomorrow, and try to reach out to them. The church is a saving station. The church is a place where people can come and be ministered to and say, I can find help there. So at the same time that today's man, Samuel, was trying to help yesterday's man, Saul, who had disobeyed God, had refused to repent, had refused to get right with God, he was also reaching out to tomorrow's man. And every church ought to be looking for tomorrow's man. I'm always looking as a prophetic voice for other people that I can sow into, people that I can reach out and mentor, people that I can help, tomorrow's man, that I discern the anointing upon their lives. People that are willing to wait their turn. And so many times in the church, we have tomorrow's man who eventually becomes yesterday's man or woman because they're not willing to wait. David had to wait 20 years before the kingdom came into his hands. And what did he do while he was waiting those 20 years? He served the kingdom of God, and he served the man who still wore the crown. He served the man that was trying to kill him. And how can I identify tomorrow's man or woman? Identify them because they are willing to wait. And sometimes they have to wait longer than they ever anticipated. They have to wait longer than they ever thought they would have to wait. Maybe the 2 years they thought they would have to wait for a leadership place or a place in the ministry or whatever their dream or call or assignment might be. 2 years may have turned into 8 years, or 8 years may have turned into 12 years. I don't know. But if we're not willing to wait, when we try to take our assignment, when we try to take something that is not rightfully ours, and I see those type of people, they go from one church to another church because they're not looking to be servants, they're looking to be takers. I'm looking for my place. I'm looking for my place to sing, or my place to preach, or my place to prophesy, or my place. And they're takers. They're willing to take it. But God will never honor that. They become yesterday's man. They think they're tomorrow's man or woman, but they have become yesterday's man because they're not willing to wait their turn. They're not willing to wait for his timing. For the Bible said that God makes everything beautiful in his time. Not our time, but his time. That's why it's important to come into a church and get planted. Those that are planted, David said, those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Where's the courts? That's in your home, your business, your minister, whatever it may be. That's where you're going to flourish. And who is it that flourishes? Those that are be planted in the house of the Lord. That's why it's important to know where you're planted and to stay planted until there's a release or ascending. Or else you become tomorrow's man, yesterday's man. I'm not getting much help, but I'm going after it. So tomorrow's man, tomorrow's woman is being prepared to do great exploits for God. Is being prepared. 1985, Gene and I have been pastoring for 18 years. I went to a church in the Dallas area and submitted myself to a man younger than me who was a friend of mine, had been a friend of mine, a prayer partner for 9 years. And we sat down at the foot of the table. The Lord said, I want you to sit here, and then I want you to serve this man. And so I did. Made hospital visits, was an usher, stood at the door, was a greeter, hoping people that I'd pastored for 8.5 years, almost 1,000 people called me pastor in Oklahoma City. There I was greeting people. And the Lord said, this is your time. Just to serve. And so I became tomorrow's man. I didn't realize that God was opening a whole new season of prophetic ministry for me, prayer minister, being a prayer leader, being a prophetic voice. But it was a preparation time, and the preparation time was serving the man of God and his vision. So David, tomorrow's man, served today's man, and he also was willing to serve yesterday's man because he still wore the crown. Do you understand? And so all of us here today are today's man. Who is today's man? Today's man is trying to restore yesterday's man, and he's trying to prepare tomorrow's man. And yesterday's man is grieving over the loss and think there's no hope. The best days are behind me, and it looks like nothing's ever going to work out. That's yesterday's man. But tomorrow's man is one that knows they have a future. They've not been publicly recognized. They've not been publicly endorsed. They've not been publicly sent. But they know there's an anointing upon them. They know there is a commission and a mission. They know that there's assignments, and they're willing to serve until their day comes. Tomorrow's man. And they approach life with eagerness. They approach life with anticipation. They leave behind the disappointments and the bitterness and the misunderstandings. And they know that the future is brighter than their past. They have been willing to release the past and take hold of the future. They are not a survivor. They are a visionary. And they have hope and they have anticipation. And they're not trying to work their way up. They're not trying to push their way to the head of the table. They're not trying to make anything happen. They are tomorrow's man. And the church must be involved in helping restore yesterday's man and helping prepare and train and ready tomorrow's man. So this church has come to the kingdom for such a time as this. To help restore yesterday's man and say there is hope and there are new beginnings and there is a way out and life is not over. You don't have just to go through life. You can't live life. For Jesus said, I've come that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. A church that gives a word of hope. A church that warns the unrepentant. You know, several years ago, I took a plane and went to the home of a man who at that time was making a major impact on this nation. He was known all across America. And the Lord gave me a word. I've never had anything before that, like that. I've never had anything since. But he was a man that was on national television. He was a man that was incredibly known. It looked like he was succeeding at every point. But the Lord said, you need to go and call this man to repentance. Because the lifestyle he's living is not good. And so I went. And for 1 hour I prophesied. He called the elders of his church. And for 1 hour I prophesied about what I saw going on, about the storm that I saw coming to the church, about the storm that I saw coming to his life. But he would not repent. He would not repent. He rejected the word that the Lord, that I brought to him. He was like Saul, who became, instead of becoming today's man, he became yesterday's man. And I grieve when I think about that man today because he's no longer in ministry. For one time, he impacted hundreds of thousands of people. He no longer is in ministry today because he refused the warning. He refused the warning. And as a result, he went from today's man to yesterday's man. And today, I declare that God is speaking to us as a church. to restore yesterday's man and to prepare tomorrow's man and fulfill the Great Commission. Because I believe that this is a very strategic church, living strategic times and strategic days, giving people opportunities to repent, to get right with God, to be restored from being yesterday's man into a place where you're going to be tomorrow's man. A place where from this very geographical location, you can do anything. You can go anywhere. You can be what God desires for you to be from this place. So we make the choice. We make the choice. We're going to be yesterday's man or woman. Are going to be tomorrow's man or woman. And are we as a church, because I'm a part of this church now, will we rescue the perishing? Will we allow them to be comfortable in their wayward ways? Or, and will we help people that have dreams and visions in their heart? Will we hold the ladder and let them climb? I was so encouraged. Gene and I, a lady named Kim Walker, you sang some of her songs here, but she asked if we would come and minister to her and her husband some time ago. And she said to us, Dale and Gene, I want you to, and Brittany was with us, our granddaughter, I want you to sit with us on the front row, because she said, I'm not singing tonight. One of the young men that I'm helping get started, he'll be singing, he and his band. I thought it was quite amazing that she would sit on the front row. There was a great crowd of young people there, maybe a couple of thousand teenagers, and she had one of the young men that her husband had been mentoring. He got up and he did the ministry. And I just said, here's a young lady that's preparing tomorrow's man. I believe that's a commission. And shall we respond to that? I hear the Holy Ghost saying, shall we respond to calling yesterday's man and pointing to tomorrow's man? Hallelujah.